Now I'll mess with the other mic. Okay. Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty smooth. Thank you, Haley. So, it's New Year's Day. When did this happen? Like, when did this happen? That's what I keep feeling. Like, how quickly time is going. And I am every year more and more convinced it's how fast time goes is a function of your age. It is a function of your age. So as we get a few more years, every day that we had, every year that we had is less a percentage, so it feels like it goes faster, right? When you're 4 years old and you're waiting for your fifth birthday, it's 25% of your life till it comes, right? When you're 52 years old, okay, it's a lot less time. And I guess I can't do the math that fast. Was it 2% of my life before, you know, before the next birthday comes? But there's something about a new year, a new day that has a freshness to it that we get excited about. You somehow sense this, I call it new beginning, that's there. And I titled the message that because I want you to be encouraged that really every day is a new beginning. And we're going to talk about that, but maybe a little bit more so on January 1st. So to know that regardless of, you know, what you did this past weekend, what you did last night, to be here this morning, and it's not like it's this church, it's your heart. You said, you know what, Lord, what more could I do than to give you this first day of the year and to walk with you? So I really want you to be encouraged in that. And as I was thinking about new beginnings, the first thing that comes to my mind is that it was actually the name of Greg Laurie or Pastor Greg Laurie's radio broadcast back in the 80s. I'm not sure if it's still called that. It may or may not be. But it was called A New Beginning with Greg Laurie. And it would always start out with, new beginning, new beginning. You know, this cheesy 80s, you know, jingle. And that was when I was first walking with the Lord. And this whole, you know, reading the Bible myself was a totally new experience. And to meet with God was a new experience. And everything was new. And there's an energy in that. And I can remember being at church. I think it was on a Saturday. Something was going on. I'm reading my Bible. And somebody comes over to me and says, oh, you must be a new believer. And I'm like, you know, why is that? And she's like, well, you just look like you're so into your Bible. And I go, well, yeah, I guess. Is it not that way later? You know, it's like, does something change? And I realize that it's not so much that something changes as much as we start to become a little bit, I almost say, too comfortable with what beautiful thing has happened in our life. And so here I am 33 years later, and you know, and I'd love to say, okay, here's all of what I've become. And yet, if anything, as you walk with the Lord and get closer, you feel a little bit like Isaiah when he's like, I am just unclean. He's so holy. So we do move and we do grow and we do experience things and we do, you know, move forward. And there are things that were no longer struggles that are gone from our life. Yet in the same way, there's this continual newness as we walk before the Lord. And I really enjoyed those old programs, and I still have some of them. It was back when there were things called cassette tapes, right? Cassette tapes. And I used to have to press play and record at the same time. These were actual buttons that you're depressed. They weren't like digital buttons that you just, that, think about it. We're so confused that we have to put the sound effect of a button being pressed on our phone to feel like we're pressing it, right? You have to make the click noise. You realize that that's just a noise. It's not really happening. You're not really pushing anything. But things have become digitized. And so anyway, I would get up at 5 in the morning. I've mentioned this in the past. Put the tape in, hit play and record, go back to sleep, and then listen to it later. And in those early days was a part of my food, my bread that I would get from the Lord, and then, you know, listen to it later and be encouraged and learn the scriptures and spend a lot of time listening to Greg as well as many of the other, a lot of the Calvary teachers and working their way through the scriptures. And that's what we do here. We work our way through the scriptures. And in my next time up here, I'm going to start our next book, which is going to be Nehemiah. I think I may have made reference to it. So if you want to read ahead, Nehemiah is a powerful book. It's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit and the work and the regeneration and the rebuilding that he does in our lives. So I'm already doing some of my study in that and really look forward to sharing that with you. And I considered whether today would be the day to start that as a new beginning, but really just wanted to encourage us in the newness of the new year to kick things off, and had some other things that God really started to put on my heart. And if I wanted to sum it up, it's the truth that God is making all things new. All. Right? Emphasis on all and new. Okay? all things are being made new. And I have an undergirding scripture in Isaiah that's on your handout, and I'm going to read it for you in a second. And I'm not so much going to expound on that scripture, but let that kind of be the background, and you'll kind of see how it ties things together as I move along. But God really is making all things new. Hey, all things new. So let's read that portion, and then I'll move us forward from there. So if you have the handout or your Bibles, I'm in Isaiah 42, and I'm just going to read verses 6 to 9. And it's where the Lord says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This was God's promise and his word through Isaiah to Israel of what he was starting to do. And right from the beginning, you know, we knew that God had a plan. And, you know, here, even when the Lord is declaring himself, that I'm the Lord, this is my name. And if you actually look that up, you know, you see in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, every time the Lord's name was used, it's these four consonants that we pronounce as Jehovah or Yahweh, but it's actually unpronounceable. His name was so holy that the Jews wouldn't even say it. And what's really cool is if you're ever on different Bible software, and this is neat, if you click on that word, you can see how to pronounce different words in Hebrew or Greek, and it's helpful for folks like myself who wouldn't know otherwise. So you're looking at the word, and it says Lord, and it spells out Jehovah or Yahweh, and when you click on the audible sound to hear how it's pronounced, you hear Adonai. It says Adonai. They won't even say Jehovah or Lord. It says Adonai, and we sang that, and that was usually the word that the Old Testament teachers would say when they wanted to reference the Lord. They would call him the Almighty Adonai. So here the Lord is speaking through Isaiah and declaring, there is something new that I'm doing. There is something new that I'm doing. And know that it was never in the intentions of God that things would continue as they are right now and as we see them, where there is a level of pain, a level of injustice. Right? There's no doubt. There's inequity. There's these things that create wars. There's hatred. There's people that are evil. There's no other way to describe it. They have surrendered themselves. Their consciences have become so severed that their behavior is nothing short of evil. And while there is still a day, we pray that God's mercy would come even to any of them, okay, the way that it came to us. But there is a time when God says, I'm not going to allow this to continue. Okay? We know that as it gets towards the end, good and evil are going to be so confused that good is going to be called evil, evil is going to be called good. And like I said, there's folks that are out there and their intents are bad. But the Lord says that he will not contend with man's spirit forever. Okay? And we know right now, what is this patience doing? It's allowing people to repent. Right? That scripture in 2 Peter, he's not slow as we understand slowness. But he's being patient. We get frustrated a little bit sometimes with his patience, okay? Because we're on this side now, all right? We're on this side. We're like, God, please make it stop, okay? Because you know you're saved. You know you're going to be with him, okay? But his heart is for all those who haven't turned. And the opportunity is still there as they hear that they can turn, that they can turn. And it's gonna grieve his heart when he says, that's it. He knows which hearts now aren't going to turn. They have hardened themselves. That's what we read in the scriptures. As people hear God's word and ignore it, they become hard to a point where then they don't want to hear it. And that's when the Lord says, okay, have your way. Your will be done. You can be separated from me forever. Okay? In the meantime, we have these continual new beginnings. And today is just one of those. And in many ways, though it may be difficult to be happy, when we know that in our own lives, there's things that we're going through. At any one point in time, you can look left or right and realize that some of those things can be overwhelming. I think it was Ronnie just last night was referencing the fact that we get distracted because the pain that's in our life becomes a megaphone, right? As opposed to looking at all the good things that are in our life. So, you know, if you got the scratch on your nose like I do, you know, that's all I can see when I look in the mirror. It's really thin. I'm not sure how it happened. Laura's asking me, I'm like, I don't know. Did you hit me last night and I didn't catch it? You know, maybe while we were sleeping or something. You know, I don't know. But that's the stuff that we focus on as opposed to, you know, what's going on around us and the fact that God is making all things new. And, you know, for despite the fact that the world's broken, for these week or so in here, everybody wishes each other a happy new year. Now, I pray that you have a happy new year. I mean, I just did it. I wish you guys all a happy new year. Because there's something about new that helps us to be a little bit happy. You know, there's just a joy that comes with something that's new. Christmas just passed. Some of you received some new stuff probably, right? And it's kind of cool. You get something new. You open it up. You know, maybe it was something that was just for fun. You know, something that's just for fun. A toy or maybe something even luxurious, maybe jewelry or something. But whatever it is, it's new and you're like, oh, this is great. It may have been real practical. It may have been some clothes, but it's kind of cool to cut the tags off your clothes and say, oh, this is new. You know, regardless, new is nice. You know, we like new things. Now, even if you got underwear, it's new. You know, right? You know, some things were not meant to be passed on. Okay, that and socks—they got to be new every year. I probably had to be at least 35 when my mom stopped giving me new underwear for Christmas, or was I 40? You know, 40. Okay, I'm the oldest in the family, so mom every year felt like she just had to keep doing it. I was married for 15 or 20 years, and I'm still getting new underwear at Christmas from my mother. I gotta check with my brothers. I gotta see if they still get it. You know? So. Yeah. I got Thomas. Thomas the Train. Yeah. So maybe that's why she gave me a Boscov's gift card so I would just go out and buy my own underwear. Okay. Anyway. There's three things I want us to think about in terms of what God is making new or has made new as a great way for us to start off this year, to give us some of the energy, the new energy that we need, as well as to continue to solidify, okay, that we build our lives on His Word. You got to build your life on His Word. It's the only stable thing. Right? We turn on the news or you read in the paper, okay, it is very unstable. But we build our lives on what's eternal, and it's God's Word. So the first new that I want to give you today is a new start. Right? That is available to each of us every single day. You woke up this morning, it's a new day. You probably heard the expression, today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's the first day. Okay, treat it like the first day. Don't let the influences of the past overshadow what today can become for us. And one of my absolute favorite scriptures is out of Lamentations 3. And it's because with the new start of every new day is God's new mercy. His new mercy. And I have the verse for you there out of Lamentations. I'm going to read verses actually 21 to 23 for you. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. I will hope in Him. There is something just beautifully clean and new about the beginning of another day. And to know that God has said, my mercy is new for you today. Today, I didn't get exhausted. If He got fed up with us, He would have wiped us out yesterday. Right? Right? So if He didn't wipe me out yesterday, then He wanted to be merciful to me another day. And He's given me another day. Because on any day, He could say, that's it. I've had you up to here, Tom. You know, time for me to get you out of there. But He didn't do that yesterday. He gave us today. He gave me today. And so the mercy that's there, it's abundant. Steadfastness. Steadfast love is also another way that mercy is often translated. It's just there's a consistency to who God is that actually becomes merciful to us, that He is being so patient. And it doesn't mean that He's not going to eventually make things right. He is making things new. He's not going to tolerate forever. But in the interim, his mercy is here for us. Okay? His mercy is here. So we're appreciative of that. And it's why when I came across it as we were studying Luke, I was so moved by the simplicity of the tax collector's prayer. Right? It's really the consummate sinner's prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, those words uttered by that man meant that he left here justified. The holy guy who was up there praying, nope, his heart was far from God. But this man knew, and all he did was call out to God for mercy because it was available. And our new start, okay, your new start for today begins with just acknowledging and receiving the mercy that God wants to extend to us. So the second new for today, and you see, if you have notes, I actually gave you little blanks. All right, so number one, new S, that was new start, right? And I have that verse on mercy. And then for two, closely related to this is the fact that we get a new heart, a new heart. And when it comes down to the heart of the matter is our heart. And we see that in the scriptures over and over and over. I just referenced the religious person in Jesus' story. But we need a new heart. And the opportunity to get a new heart has been a part of God's plan right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. He knew. You know, he knew that we're living on a planet, we're living in a place where there's an enemy that has tainted. There's an enemy that has taken this image of God and created an environment that entices us to think that somehow we can either live without him or do something better on our own or be and have things that God actually wants to give us his way, not our own way. And he lies to us and he just keeps challenging everything that God has said. But God gives us and made the opportunity for us to get this new heart so that we can seek him properly. And the verse that I have for you there is in Ezekiel. And it's several times in the scriptures, but this is probably one of the more concise places. And here in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, the Lord actually says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." That's what I needed. I need to be totally restarted, reset, right? A new heart, a heart that actually is bent towards God as opposed to bent towards evil. And we read in Romans, there's this wrestling that goes on. And we will continue from the moment that you receive that new heart. What it's doing is it is like literally expelling the darkness that has been there before. But from the moment we receive it, we then do spend the rest of our days, okay, working out that salvation. Not working for it, but allowing it to work out and into our lives, overflowing into other people's lives. But the heart of flesh is there. God gave it to us. His spirit is there. Right? The scriptures say it's a deposit. This is just a little deposit, a little taste of what's going to come. And when the Lord has that great harvest, right, all the ones in whom he's deposited his spirit will then be moved to that side, and we will then experience the fullness of what God has for us in the ages to come. Who knows? Scriptures say they're beyond our imagination. Mind has not even conceived of it. Hasn't even conceived of it. And we can get excited experiencing some of God here, whether we sense his presence or there's times when you're alone and you just know that he's with you, or you marvel at his creation. You know, little things. It's amazing. The down to the microscopic and nanoscopic level of things, you know, literally out to the cosmos, which I mentioned a couple weeks ago. They just figured out, oh, we've got 10, 20 billion more galaxies than we realized there were. It's almost like declaring how ignorant we are. You know, it's like, you want how dumb we are? Here we are in all our advances, and we just figured out we're off by tenfold. So, oops, sorry. But we have this opportunity, and God has given us new hearts. And I know many of you in here, most of you in here, have opened yourself up to Christ. And when you invite his spirit in, hey, that's where that work begins. And that faith that starts us out and gives us this new life. And, you know, we know that we don't stand before God on any sort of righteousness of our own. I forget which message it was. We were talking about the oxymoron of self-righteousness. There's no such thing. But we have, you know, acknowledged our need for God's mercy. And as we do that, here comes this new heart and a new spirit that helps me to obey his statutes. That's what I need. Something to help me. He works in me to will. Right? I need that. You need that. Right? Because I know that if I'm left to my own devices, so to speak, we drift. I drift. You know, I often get this picture of a treadmill. You know, life is moving forward on this treadmill. If you stop moving forward, you're going backwards. Right? There's going to be this continual draw to take you backwards, and there's the end of a treadmill. Okay? You don't want to fall off the back. Right? You see that on those TV shows, where those video clips where somebody goes flying into the wall. So we walk forward with the Lord, and he's given us this new heart, right, to do that, and his spirit that fills us. There's this great scripture that I know many of you are familiar with, and it's in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Actually, his third letter. We don't have one of them, so the two that we have we call first and second. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's where he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Isn't that great? Right? The old has passed away. But wait, I can still remember the old. That's okay. It's passed away. It's not determining what your tomorrows are. It's not going to determine what the rest of today is. Okay? Your new heart, your new spirit, okay? Walking with God determines what your future is. So this is a powerful, powerful thing. 2016 is past. Some folks are really glad that it passed. It had its heartaches. It has its things. And God's here offering both his mercy and a new heart to us. So we can walk in that. When you think about your past, so to speak, and this is just a good barometer, right? If the thoughts that are overwhelming you or coming into your mind make you feel condemned and ashamed, okay, that is the enemy. Right? His whole objective is to isolate you, to keep you apart, make you feel like, you know what? Oh, please, of all days, don't go to church today. Do you know what you did yesterday? That is a condemning thought. Okay? How can you get on your knees and pray? You know, you just said blank, blank, blank to your spouse. Okay? Get on your knees and pray. That's when you do it. Okay? In a sense, that's what takes the power out of all the enemy's accusations, to say, you're right. I would have been condemned had it not been for the blood of Christ that washes me clean, that gave me a new heart. Because that old thing just flared up. Hey, it spit something out that's not me. Okay? So if it's a condemning thought, if it's trying to isolate you, trying to tell you, you know what, don't do that, don't go, it's just the enemy. Right? He kind of works, you know, he knows that if you're in the group, if you're in the pack, right, you're a lot harder to take out. But if he can get you to start to fall behind, right, as we see like in those graphics when the one gazelle kind of gets out of the pack, okay, and out comes the lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay? So don't let that happen. Realize that the exact opposite is what the Holy Spirit does. It's a conviction, okay, but it draws you to God. It draws you in. It's when you said, I can't believe I just said that. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he's like, okay. Yeah, and he draws you in. It's his kindness in the face of those things that draws us to him, draws us to say, you know what? Okay, I can turn. I can turn from him. You know, can turn from the enemy's lies and turn towards the Lord, because he's always, you know, drawing us to himself. So the difference between a condemning thought and a convicting thought is which direction is it moving you? A condemning thought's always going to try to somehow keep you away from the Lord, keep you away from prayer, keep you away from other believers. A convicting thought will draw you in, because when you come before a God who loves you so much, right? Look at the prodigal son. He was flat out rebellious, flat out squandered his money. It wasn't even his money. Right? His dad gave him an inheritance before he died. And yet when he turns, the father's running to him and throwing a party. Okay? So that's our God. All right? So the newness that's there for us. His future for us is powerful. It's powerful. So here we are, these new creations in Christ. And I put that scripture in Jeremiah. I know it's one of Andre's favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. Right? Similar words that we heard from the scripture in Lamentations. My hope is in him. Hope is powerful. It can give you energy. It can make you feel alive. It gives you a trust and a confidence. And it's why, as we continue to be with the Lord and meet with him and get to know him, our hope grows. Our faith grows. And we have that blessed assurance, that rest that says, I don't care what's going on around me. You know, my feet are on Christ, the rock I stand. All other ground, it's sinking sand, but that's okay. Right? So regardless of what stage you're at in your life, whether you're still in school and early on, or whether you're in, you know, the years where you're, okay, your body reminds you. You know, my body reminds me now and then. Right? We can walk with the Lord in such a place to know that his plans continue to be good for us. They're good. The scriptures say that he actually figured out in advance some great things, some good things for you to walk in. And this is the life that we have. So, all right. So in this new start that God offers, right, we see that he's given us this new heart. And then from that, our final three, number three there, the final new, is that there's a new part for us to play. A new part. And this is the empowering that comes as God's Spirit literally starts to overtake us. And Jesus said in John 13, there's a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. This ability to show love to other people, and we know it's easy to love people who love you. Showing love is when folks aren't so loving back. Right? And we read the way Jesus taught us to literally, whether it be turn the other cheek or go the extra mile, do things for folks that would not expect it, that quote-unquote don't deserve it. Okay? That becomes a part of your nature because that's what God is doing every single day. Do you realize that? Every single day, there's people literally spitting in his face, using the tongue that he gave them to curse him, to deny that he exists, to command his damnation on things, right? People want to, you know, help God in his judgments. Yet every day, he's patient, right? He's patient. He's being kind, knowing that when that revelation comes, and it is a revelation, because God's Holy Spirit, right? One of the things that we read, his Spirit moves throughout the earth, convicting of what's right, of what's true, of judgment, of holiness, of what's really right. That's what his Spirit is doing. So when you pray that for somebody, you're praying right along the lines of what God has for them. God, help them to see. Okay? Somebody was praying that for you. Somebody was praying that for me. I know it was my mom a lot of times, like, help that boy. Because literally, it's a blindness that's there. But as this love starts to take us over, that's what happens. Takes us over. We start to live a life that you realize isn't yourself. Your way of thinking is different. You pause and think differently. You may want to react. You may want to respond. You may want to retaliate. And there's something in you that says, wait, you need to show them mercy. You need to show them some degree of love, some degree of compassion. Sometimes you're telling somebody you forgive them, and they're like, what? that bothers you? Sorry about that. Or maybe not. You know, and you're saying, I forgive you. But you know, you're extending parts of who God is in ways that draw people to him. Right? So we have this new part to play because God has chosen. He has chosen, and who are we to question it? But he's chosen to use us, to use people, to continue to show his love. And that's the opportunity that we have and really the responsibility that we have to show that, to live it every day, to find ways to live it. I mean, in some ways it's not hard because there's offenses all around us. Yet to live it out in ways that people are like, you are wired different. And you're like, amen to that. I got a new heart. I got a new spirit. I know God's mercy in my life. Okay, and he wants that for you as well. Okay? Because you are wired different. You have been reconfigured to such a way that now God's Spirit can use you. I think it might be a Matthew West song, a relatively current song, where he's saying, I was out on the streets and I saw this going on, and I'm like, God, where are you? And I went over there and I saw this going on, God, where are you? And I realized that when I said, God, what are you doing? He's like, I created you. That's what I'm doing. I created you. Do something. Do something. Right? He created us. We are his hands and his feet. It's his choice to do it this way, and it's our pleasure to partake in it. So it's a part of what he made us for. These are some of these good plans that he has for us and these good works that he's called us to move into. So we're at a place where there's a lot of new opportunity, a lot of new beginnings. The first fruits of the kingdom itself, came with Jesus. It sounds, gushy to talk about loving people into this new kingdom, because there's been such a challenge and so many injustices for such a long time that we get a little bit numb to it. But God said, I am sending my son because I love you so much. And in that, as he has overcome death, right, that's the beginning. Right? The prayer that Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come on earth like it is in heaven. And so here he is living that out and overcomes death. The first human being, fully empowered, full of God's Spirit to such a degree that lives a sinless life, kept perfect fellowship with his Father. And in doing so, he becomes the first fruits of passing into this new life, from a human body. And so we, like him, end up in this opportunity to be born into this new kingdom and experience that. And I know you guys all know this, but it's worth saying again at the beginning of the year, and it's worth saying again just to put the framework in our own minds. It was Nicodemus that came to Jesus, and he was earnestly saying, how do I get to the kingdom? And Jesus says words that we're familiar with when he told him that, no one is going to see God's kingdom unless he's born again. Unless he's born again. And that's what that new spirit and that new heart is about. It's about being born from above. And I know most of you here have invited Christ to be a part of your life, and you're in the process now of moving forward and persevering through that. But every day is a new opportunity and a new chance. So as I'm tying things up here, I want to just encourage you, keep on keeping on. All right, keep on keeping on. It's really not that long. 120 years is not that long, right? Laura keeps saying, if I keep eating cookies the way I am, I'm not going to be the oldest living boomer. So maybe that'll be the first thing that goes in the 21 days. I cracked the cookie door open more than I usually do this year, but that's besides the point. Keep on keeping on. Persevere. Fight the good fight. I think it was in some of the songs that we even sang today, and I heard Dave reference the continuation and the perseverance, the promises to him who finishes, who gets to the end. And it's not so much I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to make it. In some ways, it's about don't quit. Hey, don't quit and you made it. Don't jump off the ship. Don't run away. Don't let a condemning thought keep you away. Hey, stay. Stay and his Spirit will keep you. That's his promise. He says, I'm going to complete the work I started in you. Woo-hoo! I need you to do that. Amen. So don't feel like it's about you mustering the things up this new year. Like, this is the year I'm going to do it. Okay? Hey, walk in this grace that's his. I think it's in Hebrews 4:11. It says, make every effort to enter his rest. Every effort to enter his rest. Okay? But that is what happens. Okay? We enter into this rest that's in God, and we can continue to persevere. Okay, because we're with him. We're confronted, and we know our own humanity and our own frailties, but in many ways, persevering to the end is more about not quitting than trying to figure out what I'm going to do next to make myself better. So you're not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. We're going to keep each other in this race, because God's desire is to see us finish. So he's going to take us to the end. Amen? Amen. Okay, these couple of takeaways that I have for you, if you have those notes there, basically just telling us that in Christ, all things are new, and they are becoming new. And this includes you. It includes me. So we have a new start. comes with his mercy. We have a new heart, and we have a new part to play. Paul told us, I think it was when we were studying Colossians, you know, put on this person, this new person. Put on those new clothes. Put them on. They look good on you. Remember that? These clothes look good on you, this compassion, all these great fruits of God's Spirit. And then take some time, right, whether it be today or in the days ahead, say, all right, what are some of the things I can build into my life? You got those 21 days coming up towards the end of the month. Put some things into your life that are going to be the things that you want to see yourself, not just make some progress on, but time with the Lord. If you're with the Lord, it permeates all kinds of places in your life, everything. Okay? And in his time, he'll put his finger on what needs to be taken care of next. So don't worry about coming up with a list. Okay? I want to eat better. I want to exercise. I want to pray more. I want to, if anything, spend time with him and allow his Spirit to just move and move in you. Continue to transform you. Transform me. I need it. Okay? And it doesn't come without spending time with him. So there's nothing better that we can be doing than spending time with him. Amen? All right. I'm excited for a new year. I hope you are. God's going to do some great stuff. If you guys want to stand, let me pray a blessing, as well as invite anybody who needs prayer, wants prayer for anything specific. Please come forward and allow us to pray for you. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and saving a sinner such as me. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for this new day. I ask that you would continue to empower each of us to walk in and walk out the things that you have for us. They are good plans. Lord, our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. We know that we will not be disappointed because you are who you said you are. You are the faithful one. Your steadfastness endures for generations and generations into eternity. So, Lord, thank you for the grace that you've shown us. May we show it to others. Lord, may we each of us, may we get the pleasure of leading someone into your kingdom this year and in the days ahead. So, God, we thank you. And I pray a blessing over this part of your body this morning, Lord, as we prepare to go, with the words that Moses used when he said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Have a great day. If you need some prayer, please come forward.